Welcome to Future Past, dramatizing stories written during the golden age of science fiction. This time, it's The Cosmic Express, written by Jack Williamson, adapted for radio by Joseph McGuire. This is an ironic, humorous story written in 1930 about a couple from the 25th century who worship and venerate the primitive past. And now, Future Past.
Seven, eight, nine, ten. That's enough. Don't want to wear myself out with too much exercise.
Darling, what are you doing?
Well, right now I'm looking at the blizzard going on outside. It's fascinating. It's a shame we live in a climate-controlled city with a glass over us.
Oh, I'm going to take a few more minutes of sleep. Why don't you go do some work before breakfast?
All right, dear. I'll let you sleep. He looked out across the grassy plain. There had to be a lion somewhere in the belt. A lion to test his manhood. Flexing his brawny muscles, he started to run. Let's see. Where shall I have the lion ambush him? Oh, yes. Running was his passion. But even he, Kojat of the belt, could run out of energy after a 15-mile sprint. A waterhole up ahead. With trees for a cool rest and water for a cool drink. He leaned over to get a drink when roar!
Darling, you're so right. The blizzard through the telescreen window, it's just exquisite. So natural, I may compose a poem to it.
Oh, yeah. Good morning.
Oh, what's wrong, my dear?
You interrupted me just as the lion was pouncing.
Oh, pooh, the lion will pounce. It is only nature's way for the lion to pounce. You know, Eric, why do you use that typewriter replica instead of the voice writer?
Well, it puts me in touch with the primitives in the past. When I use the typewriter, I feel in the past, not the now of the 25th century.
I do know what you mean. I wish I could write my poems with quill pen and ink. But it's difficult to find quills, and modern graphite ink will not work anyway.
Oh, yes. Is it time for breakfast?
No fair changing the subject. So instead, I use the voice writer. At least my voice is of nature.
Well, let's go eat. I am famished.
What would you like for breakfast, dear?
Oh, punch up my usual.
Eric, darling, isn't it terrible to be cooped up here in this little flat, away from the things we both love?
Yes, dear. Civilization has ruined the world. If we could only have lived 1,000 years ago, when life was simple and natural, when men hunted and killed their meat instead of drinking synthetic stuff, when men still had the joys of conflict instead of living under glass like hothouse flowers.
Oh, if we could only go somewhere.
There isn't anywhere to go. I write about the West, Africa, South Sea Islands, but they were all filled up 200 years ago. Pleasure resorts, sanatoriums, cities, not to mention factories.
Oh, if only we lived on Venus. I was watching a documentary on television last night. The narrator said that the planet Venus is younger than the Earth. That it is not cooled so much. It has a thick, cloudy atmosphere and low, rainy forests. There's a simple, elemental life there, like Earth had before the civilization ruined it.
Yes, Kinsley, with his new infrared ray telescope that penetrates the cloud layers of the planet, proved that Venus rotates in about the same period as Earth. And it must be much like Earth was 1,000,000 years ago.
Oh, I wonder if we could go there to get away from this hateful civilization and live natural lives. Maybe a rocket.
Splendid. Think of hunting in the virgin forest and bringing the game home to you. But I'm afraid there's no way. Wait, the Cosmic Express. I read about it in Science Weekly.
The Cosmic Express?
A new invention, just perfected a few weeks ago by Ludwig von der Waals, the German physicist.
Oh, I've quit bothering about science. It has ruined nature, filled the world with silly, artificial people doing silly, artificial things.
But this is quite remarkable, dear. A new way to travel. By ether.
By ether?
Yes. You know, of course, that energy and matter are interchangeable terms.
Oh, of course. That's elementary. I can give you examples even of the change, the disintegration of radium atom, making helium and lead and energy.
Fine, fine. I thought you said you didn't bother about science. But the method in the new Cosmic Express is simply to convert the matter to be carried into power, send it out as a radiant beam, and focus the beam to convert it back into atoms at the destination.
Oh, but the amount of energy must be terrific.
Well, it is. But they figured a way to deal with that. Now, no more of this talk until after we eat.
Pfft. breakfast dishes cleared and sent to Central Kitchen. Oh, darling, I'm thrilled to death about the Cosmic Express. If we could go to Venus, to a new life out on a new world, and get away from all this hateful conventional society.
Oh, we can go to their office. Not Venus, but the machine. It's only 5 minutes away. The chap that operates the machine for the company is a pal of mine. He's not supposed to take passengers except between the offices they have scattered about the world. But I know his weak point, and I know what he likes.
How convenient. What is that in your hand?
Well, an old friendship plus this would make him like even spinach.
Quick! I have to tell you the truth. I have the most urgent necessity to go quickly. A patient I have in Paris that is in the most critical condition.
Hold your horses just a minute, mister. We've got a client in the machine now. Russian diplomat going to Rio de Janeiro. The charge will be $270.80, please. You're next. Remember, this is an experimental service. Regular installations all over the world in a year.
Here is the money.
Thanks, Doc. When you're in there, lie down on the crystal face up, hands at your sides, don't breathe. It's ready, Doc. Go on in. Why, hello, Eric.
Hello, Charlie. I'd like you to meet my wife.
That's the lady you were telling me about? Congratulations! Just a minute. There's a passenger in the transit box.
Oh, don't let us bother you. We'll sit over there until you're ready for us.
All right, madam. You can come out now. Hope you found the transit pleasant.
But my Violet, my precious Violet. Sir, what have you done with my darling Violet?
I'm sure I don't know, madam. You lost it off your hat?
None of your impertinence, sir. I want my dog.
Ah, a dog. Must have jumped off the crystal. You can have him sent on for 300 and...
Young man, if any harm comes to my Violet, I'll appeal to the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Very good, madam. We appreciate your patronage.
I'm going to see my lawyer, my precious Violet.
And now, what can I do for you, Eric?
Well, we would like to go to Venus, if that ray of yours can put us there.
To Venus? Impossible. My orders are to use the express merely between the 16 designated stations. At New York, San Francisco, Tokyo, London, Paris...
Oh, no, but see here, Charlie. For old time's sake, and for this...
What have you got there in that silver flask?
Ambrosia.
Thanks! I'd send you to heaven for that, if you'd give me the micrometer readings to set the ray with. But I tell you, this is dangerous.
We're looking for a little danger.
Well, I've got sort of a television attachment for focusing the ray. I can turn that on Venus. I've been amusing myself watching the life there already. Terrible place. Savage. I can pick a place on high land to set you down, but I can't be responsible for what happens afterward.
Oh, darling, the simple, primitive life. Oh, it's what we're looking for.
Yes, dear. Charlie, what do I owe you?
Oh, that's all right. Between friends. Provided this stuff is genuine. Just walk into the transit booth. I'll talk with you over the intercom. Lie down on the crystal block, hands at your sides, don't move.
Lie down on this crystal.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, we're going to see nature in the raw.
Ready. I think I've got it for you. Sort of a high island in the jungle. Nothing bad in sight now. But I say, how are you coming back? I haven't got time to watch you.
Go ahead. Who says we're coming back?
Gee, what is it, an elopement? I thought you were married already. Or is it business difficulties?
No, just get on with it, Charlie.
So long.
At last, we're free! Free of that hateful old civilization. We're back to nature.
Yes, we're on our own feet now. Not parasites on the machines.
Oh, it's wonderful to have a fine, strong man like you to trust in, Eric. Oh, you're just like one of the heroes in your books.
And you're the perfect companion, Nada. But now, we must be practical. We must build a fire, find weapons, set up a shelter of some kind. I guess it will be night pretty soon, and Charlie said something about savage animals he had seen on the television.
Oh, we'll find a nice dry cave and have a fire in front of the door and skins of animals to sleep on and pottery vessels to cook in, and you will find seeds and grow grain.
Ah, yes, exactly. But first we must find a flint bed. We need flint for tools and the strike sparks to make a fire with. We'll probably come across a chunk of virgin copper, too. It's found native. Let's go this way.
What a good friend Eric is. Here's to you, friend. Ah, ambrosia. What good stuff. What good stuff.
This mud is very sticky. Darn shame to come 40 million miles and meet such a reception as this.
I'm tired, and I don't believe there's any rock here anyway. You'll have to use wooden tools, sharpened in the fire.
Oh, probably you're right. This soil seems to be of alluvial origin. Shouldn't be surprised if the native rock is some hundreds of feet underground.
You can make fire by rubbing sticks together, can't you?
Well, it can be done, I'm sure. I've never tried it myself. We need some dry sticks first, though. We must march on.
You didn't bring any matches, dear?
Matches? Of course not. We're going back to nature, remember?
Well, I hope we get a fire pretty soon.
If dry wood were gold dust, we couldn't even buy a hot dog.
Oh, Eric, that reminds me that I'm hungry.
Food does sound good. I haven't seen any bananas or any such jungle food around, have you?
No.
Not even a small animal I could bash its head in.
Oh, let's build the shelter here, next to that tree trunk. And oh, we could use some of these branches, and it's a little drier over there.
We'll keep out the rain, perhaps. And tomorrow, then, when it's quit raining, I'm sure we'll do better.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
Now, there, buck up, dear. We're back to nature, where we've always wanted to be.
Mr. Johansson, this is Central Control. Traffic has stopped. Something go wrong with the equipment? Johansson? Johansson? Something's wrong down there. I'm going down.
Hello? Hello? This is Charlie here. I'll drink to you now. Ambrosia. Oh.
Hey, Charlie, old man, Dobson's coming down. You better straighten.
Dobson is here. Get back to work now.
Yes, sir.
Johansson, snap out of it. What's this? Ambrosia? I see you're stiff. When you come out of it, you'll be more than fired. Let me check your board.
Venus.
What? Looks like you sent someone to Venus. You are a fool. Hope they haven't moved far from their landing site.
Must be a reptile, a dinosaur or something. This world seems to be like Earth when they flourished there, but, well, maybe it won't find us.
Don't you think it might have been better? You know, the old life, it was not so bad after all.
I was just thinking of our rooms, nice and warm and bright, with hot foods coming up the shaft whenever we push the old button, and the happy crowds in the park, and my old typewriter.
Eric?
Yes, dear?
Don't you wish we were home?
I do.
The shelter's gone. Oh, if only, if only.
So sorry. An accident. Inconceivable. I can't see how he got it. We got you back as soon as we could find a focus. I sincerely hope you haven't been injured.
Why? What?
Wire happened in and found our operator stiff on Ambrosia. I've no idea where he got the stuff. He muttered something about Venus. I consulted the auto register and found two more passengers registered here than had been recorded in our other stations. I looked up the duplicate beam coordinates and found that it had been set on Venus. I got men on the television scanners to look for you at once, and we happened to find you.
Nada, are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine, dear. Now that I'm warm. You were saying?
Yes, I can't imagine how it happened. I had the fellow locked up, and the anti-ambrosia laws are on the job. I hope you won't hold us for excessive damages.
Oh, no, that won't be necessary. I ask nothing except that you don't press charges against the boy. I don't want him to suffer for it in any way. My wife and I will be perfectly satisfied to get back to our apartment.
I don't wonder. You look like you've been through hell. And I'll have you there in 5 minutes.
Listen to this, dear. The mammoth is lying on its side, dead from the spear that had brought it down, wielded from the castaway on the planet Venus. His woman, fellow castaway, looked on proudly, knowing her man will provide for her as long as they were marooned.
Oh, Eric, that will be your biggest seller ever. It will just wow your readers.
Won't it just? Well, good night, Nada.
Good night, Eric.
This has been Future Past, bringing you The Cosmic Express. Starring Kara Walliukonis as Eric Stokes Harding, Laura Hale as Nada Stokes Harding, Matt Clausen as Charlie, Rado McComas as Dobson, and Carolina McComas as the Dowager. Edited by Jay Charles. Produced by Joseph C. McGuire. Theme music by Jason Shaw at audioantics.com. This was made possible by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.